So excited to have Rich on, Rich Bocconi. Before I welcome Rich to our show, I would love to really talk about a little bit about you, a little bio, to let everyone get to know you before we start talking during this interview. So I know you're a former detective. You were in narcotics and criminal investigation, right? With the work that you do. And you went into spiritual mediumship. So I'm going to ask you some questions around that because that's a big change from going to be a detective to actually getting on the journey of spiritual mediumship. So we're going to talk about that. And before we do, I also want to briefly talk about your book too, because you came out with a book soon after, and we're going to get into that kind of conversation. So let's get started and learn about a little bit about you, Rich. So can you tell us how you went from the spiritual, the detective work for 20 something years to spiritual mediumship?
So thank you for having me on your show. I'm grateful for it. It's odd, right? It's odd being a detective and then all of a sudden you're talking to spirit mediums. And in my other capacity in my profession in law enforcement, I was always catching people that murdered people. Now I'm talking to people that were murdered, telling me about the people on who to, how to catch them. And it just, yeah.
In
It's odd. It's a, but it wasn't had, it didn't have anything to do with like detective work, even though we have these moments where, when we have a gut feeling, Lindsay.
yes.
So what I've come to learn is that that's actually our spirit. It's not us thinking, it's us being
Right.
inspired with a sense of some kind of information that's true.
Yeah.
And when I was doing detective work, I mainly did undercover narcotic work, but I also did undercover work for the Detective Bureau. And we all had these moments like that. And we just referred to them as our gut feeling, but it was very much our spirit. And it was near the end of my career. And I kind of was at a low point, Lindsay, in my life. I was, even though I had this great career and I was in, had my own martial arts business and I was still unhappy. And
Yeah.
so I kind of was pursuing, I started looking at a different way of how to make wiser choices in my life, choices that produce more loving outcomes. And
Right.
so I started questioning on, does God exist? Does a higher power exist? Does love really matter? And that was my starting point. It was just an internal endeavor to seek the truth about, I guess you could say, our own human creation. Is there really a spiritual side and also a physical side? Is that true?
Oh my gosh, it's so true. And it's interesting that it's in those moments where you're having a d tough time and it causes you to reflect and think, how can I do life differently? And just going back to the detective work, it really makes sense. Like being a medium myself, I understand the process behind, even though I haven't been a detective, of course, I am connected to a lot of detectives, either friends or clients. And what I find is, with detective work, your senses are heightened anyways. You're using your intuition constantly. So when you said that gut instinct, you kind of have it in you, it makes sense that you would go into the path of spiritual, the spiritual realm after that. And some people, have you found that some people could numb out their feelings? Like when you did the work, when you were a detective and you saw different things, did you find yourself feeling everything? Or was it one of those moments where you sort of detached from the outcome because you did it so much? I'm curious about that.
It is interesting. I've seen my share of people who were murdered and dead bodies and, other horrific crimes to animals and other people and whatnot. And I don't want to say you ever get used to it, but at the very same time, I think that your response changes from, oh my God, I'm devastated, I can't look at it, to I can't wait to catch the person who's done this, and I'm going to make sure they never do it again.
Yeah.
So it kind of changes the way you respond to each situation. It's like, and you tell me if you feel this is true. We can deliver our words in an angry way, but we're also capable of delivering the same exact words in a calm way.
That's true.
And it's also, it all depends on our personal perspective and our viewpoint of the situation, but we're capable of this. And so I think that's what I was demonstrating. You know, in the beginning it was, oh my God, I can't even look at this.
Yeah.
To,
yeah.
Oh my God, I'm going to do everything I can to catch this person who did this. I'm making sure it never happens again.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I'm curious for you, since leaving the detective work, because you retired and it was after that that you went on to your spiritual journey, which it was probably in you anyways the whole time, right? Like in hindsight, looking back, you probably start to become aware of more spiritual experiences. I'm curious about that. And then also, did you find that with your mediumship work, people have come to you and asked you to find their loved ones that are missing or do some sort of detective work in the spiritual way?
Yes, yes to all of that. My story, I think it centers on this. Remember I was telling you I was like at a low point in my life?
Yes.
Like I was divorced from my wife. I was separated from my child. I was in bad financial condition, very bad financial condition. I was by myself. And so I didn't put responsibility on other people for getting me there. I put it on myself. But I also put it on, well, maybe I was just taught wrong. Maybe the philosophy from my parents and my religion and academics and our society, maybe it's all wrong. Maybe we're not supposed to think about life. Because we were talking about, we have these moments where we just know something is true. And that's different from me saying, I think this is true. Knowing and thinking is two different things. And so I think I just reached a low point in my life and I gave up following or searching for answers the way I was and saying, that doesn't work for me. And so it was me showing courage that if a spiritual side exists, for me to find that out and to get my answers that way. And that's when I started really pushing in that direction of going back to my police years, where you just knew information. We call it a gut instinct, an instinctively knowing. I go, what if that was my spirit? So I started becoming a student of all that. And I realized there's a difference between searching for answers by me mentally thinking about them and then coming up with a solution or answers that you believe is true and being inspired with answers that you'll say to yourself, I just know this to be true.
Right.
And that was different forms of communication inside of us. So I focused on what I consider to be the spiritual one. And it was near the end of my career, because I didn't believe in any of this stuff, you know, because I'm self-taught and self-learned. I never read a book. I didn't have anybody to fall back on. So it was near the end of my career and I was experimenting with it all. And you know, there was like one or two really cool stories near the end of my career that just validated it for me.
I would love to hear that. I was actually going to ask you, do you have any stories that stick out to you that you thought, wow, like there's something beyond what we could see with the human eye?
Yeah. And I mean, now I've been doing this professionally for 15 years now. So I've only been doing it for 15 years. And I mean, I have so many stories, what I consider to be personal miracles that I've actually witnessed that are just amazing to me. But in the very beginning, there was an actual murder that took place. And, you know, I didn't tell anybody about this change that was going on inside of me, police-wise. Sometimes police officers can be quite cruel or they love a sense of humor. So I can't tell you, you know, once it finally started getting out near the end of my career, I was seeing like stickers of crystal balls all over my locker. And, you know, you had the witches and the psychic medium. Oh, yeah.
Oh, so they knew what you were into at that point.
Well, you know, it was interesting because I wasn't ashamed of what I was doing because I always looked at it like God exists. There is a higher power that we're connected to that's inspiring me with some kind of knowledge that only my spirit can receive. My brain couldn't receive it. Only my spirit can receive it. And only my spirit could interpret this knowledge.
Right.
ashamed of it. But at the very same time, I know how people can, you know, ridicule you and mock you and whatnot. So if it came up in conversation, I said yes, because I started doing events, you know, near the end of my career. Anyway, there was this one particular time near the end of my career, there was a murder, and it was a lady that they found her, and they found like just her bones, you know, like there was very little anything else besides her bones that was left. So it was an older murder. And it was also the animals was out in the woods and whatnot, you know, the decomposition. And so I said, you know, what if I can get in contact with her? Because they had no clue, you know, on who it could be connected to. So I spent one particular night seeing if I can get in contact with her. And I wrote all this information down. And then I kind of secretly turned it into the lead detective in the case. Through another person. So I didn't do it directly, but indirectly. Anyway, once the case was over, he looked back at all my notes, the lead detective, and found that I had 10 things that were absolutely right, from where she was murdered to the name of the person who murdered her, the relationship, that they actually lived together. She was transported in a pickup truck with out-of-state plates. And I mean, it went on for like 10 different things. And he came to me and he said, how did you know this information? He goes, I just learned it over the past 2 months. And you gave me this thing like 3 months ago. He goes, how did you? And I said, well, I'm just kind of experimenting with this ultimate communication. It's based on inspiration. And wow. So that was, yeah. And so that was my first like introduction to it all.
That is absolutely amazing. I love that you shared the story, because it's not often that, you know, I've done some cases, I've worked with some detectives before on cases behind the scenes. It's not like I announce it to anyone, my students know after, but sometimes it's not looked at as, you know, the medium gave the information, you know, that's never kind of publicized, which you don't want it to be. You want to be kind of private and behind the scenes, but it's not always looked at like a, it kind of sounds crazy that a medium told a police officer or something, but I love that you were the detective that tapped in. And I wonder, have you ever thought of doing any kind of work where you would train police officers how to look in an intuitive way, like really be aware of taking their gut instinct to a new level and training them? And then do you offer classes for people for detective work for mediums?
I've never done that, but I feel like I'm completely capable of doing it. I've taught people, you know, how to shift into this communication. And so that's how I always looked at it. I just learned to shift to this alternate communication that we all have. Right. And but I've never done classes on helping other detectives expand on that gut feeling that they normally talk about. And that's all I would do. I would just take that sense, that experience that they all had, and said, this is it. Let me expand it. Let me help you expand it now so you can do it more often.
Right. Because I'm sure the best detectives are the most psychically tapped in without even really realizing it, some of them.
Correct.
I'm always intrigued with detective work because I myself would love to dig a little bit deeper, but to learn from a detective how to go deeper and a medium, the two combined, I mean, that's a powerful thing. So if you ever offer a class, I'm there.
Thank you.
And I know there's a lot of mediums listening to this interview right now too. And someone just said that another medium said that they have a cop friend who's very intuitive too. So there is a common theme there. I love having this conversation. So I want to kind of go back to those rough moments for you where you did dig deeper and you had that reflective moment. What types of habits were you doing during those times? You know, were you journaling? Were you, what types of things were you doing?
Yes. That's a great question. It's the first time somebody's asked me that question. Because I was learning by myself, I didn't have anybody to talk to. And I wish I really did. I wish I had somebody just to bounce some ideas off of to get some kind of insight. But like I said, it was at a low point in my life, and like my family disconnected from me. And, you know, like I said, it was a bad time in my life. And so I think the biggest thing, Lindsay, is I started on a path where I was learning to give up sole ownership and sole control over my life.
Yeah.
Of trying to do life on my own. I think that being at that low point got me to a moment in my life where I said, I'm just going to admit the truth. I can't do life on my own and produce a happiness for myself. I'm just going to speak the truth. So if there's a higher power, and this higher power is connected through a communication that's based on spiritual inspiration, I was going to learn that. And I think it was just faith. I think it was just faith and courage. And what I learned to do was, I think I learned that very often these moments of inspiration that we have are very subtle.
Right.
Sometimes they're really quick and subtle. But the more I became aware of that, the more I was able to embrace it and hold on to it and kind of look for more.
Yeah.
And I didn't let any slip by me. I think very often when I think too much, they all slipped by me. They were always there, but they just slipped by me. And then I said to myself, you know, physically I see things. And a lot of times cops, you know, you'll see something and you'll have these logical assumptions or answers based on what you physically see. But I noticed that the eyes of our spirit is our awareness. I could actually see beyond what was physical. I could actually delve into and get information in details based on me being spiritually aware. And that was inspiring to me, just that it was proof that there was an alternate part of me. So I think it was just faith and courage in the very beginning that within my human creation was a spiritual intelligence that uses awareness and inspiration. And when it knows knowledge to be true, this is all the communication I focused on. And it just grew after a while.
I love that. And then when you keep on practicing that and trusting it, and then it's confirmed, it gives even more confidence and builds up that momentum and the strength of the power of trusting your soul.
Yes.
During that time too. So I love that. Thank you for sharing that. And in your book, I know it's number one bestseller book, which is awesome, called Being More of God. It's the true story of spiritual evolution. You probably include some of these details in that book, right? Your process behind this reflection and this journey.
Yeah, you know, to the best of my ability, it was the first time I ever authored something. And have you written a book, Lindsay?
You know, I've been a co-author. I haven't finished my book. It's something that I need to get back into. I kind of stopped writing it and I have to go back to it.
Do you find it challenging?
Oh yeah. I was like, how am I ending this book? And then I shut it, stopped writing it. It's been over 10 years and I'll probably rewrite things that I thought I was going to put in the book and just rewrite it from a different perspective.
Yes.
So it is an evolution in itself.
Yeah, yes. And that's what I found about writing that book. It was so challenging for me, but I was also coming from a level of wisdom that I had at the time.
Yeah.
But this communication, and there is an education behind it. It's not just a communication, it's an explanation of how it all works. And I noticed that my words have really evolved. My insight has evolved. The way I explain it now evolved. So it's much different than the book. But yeah, the book was one of the most challenging things I've done. And I mean, I'm personally proud of it. So thank you for mentioning it.
Of course. Now, I want to ask you too, if there were people that were listening to this and they are in law enforcement or they're detectives or they're doing this work, what advice would you offer to them in the spiritual way? And then on the other hand, people that are mediums or highly sensitive people that are wanting to go deeper with becoming aware of their own sense of oneness, what would you recommend to those two groups of people?
It might be the same recommendation. It's something that I held onto or I embraced in the very beginning with this. And it was this. It was, I was never meant to do life on my own. So whoever taught me that I had to do life on my own and prove I was successful and better than other people and superior or more intelligent, that was all nonsense. It was about learning how to surrender control over to a process of inspiration that has to do with a coexistence our spirit has with a higher power, and never minimize it. So very often in my life, what would happen is that when I was thinking too much, it would create doubt in what I first knew to be true.
Right.
It would dismiss it, create doubt, and it would use the tactic of fear to get me not to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that would be my advice to people, to please accept that there's a superior communication that's based on inspiration within all of you. It's going to be subtle at first. Do not minimize what it's telling you to do, because it always holds true. And then be aware of a second voice that's going to try to talk you out of it.
Ooh, I like that part, because that is true. When your own internal dialogue comes into play, the human side, it can totally knock you off of the track of, I'm getting this from my soul and this intuitive nudge, and I'm getting this message, and it's very random and out of nowhere. And how is this even making sense? But I feel it in my soul. And then all of a sudden, something else comes in and says, don't pay attention to that. Or sometimes clients will come to me and say, well, I Googled what my dream meant because I wasn't sure. I'm like, you know exactly what it meant, and Google's not going to help you in that moment. You know, you trust that in the moment. It's so easy to go back on that first instinct. And then you, over time, you recognize, wow, I was right. You know, I don't have to change it.
And it's amazing. Tell me if this is true, Lindsay, with what you're saying is, how many people have you met, including yourself, where you say to yourself, I knew I was supposed to speak the truth, or I knew the loving thing to do, but then a mental fear, a tactic of like mental fear talked me out of it. And it could be something like, it's not going to work out for you, or you're not going to get the response, or you're not going to get the outcome that you want. And it's something fearful. And I noticed that about myself. And I said, what if that's universal in all people?
Mm-hmm.
What if that's just true about all people?
Definitely, without a doubt. Yes.
It's amazing, yeah. Right?
It really is. And then over time, when you start continuing to speak your truth, it feels very easy. But sometimes I know for myself over the years, I've gotten more, I don't know if I'd use the word blunt. I've always been blunt, saying the truth, but maybe a little bit more bold with sharing the truth. And sometimes it's not a popular truth, but I share it. And then I can go back into my human self thinking, was I understood in the intentional way that I was trying to get it across, you know, and kind of second guess how it was delivered. But I know that fear and intuition can't work at the same time. Like it has to be one or the other that's working too.
That, you know, and that was the thing, Lindsay, what you're just talking about is that helped me out so much, is understanding and expecting that.
Right.
Because when the first time, like when I first started doing all this, I didn't know what a medium was. I didn't know what psychic was or intuition. And I had no knowledge about any of it. I mean, you hear the terms, but you didn't have any real explanation or knowledge about it. And as it started to progress and I started seeing evidence of being inspired with answers and just watching them turn out in a positive way or in a loving outcome, I started growing faith in it. And it kind of gave me a passion to do it more. And then after about like 2 or 3 years of just like gaining knowledge about all of this is when I started really seeing people in spirit and being guided to do mediumship galleries. But it takes a lot of courage to stand in front of the very first gallery I did was like 26 people, to stand in front of people you've never met before and share details. And I can't tell you that mental fear that I had tried to talk me out of it in a big way.
I can totally relate that's how I felt with my first gallery audience event. And I wanted to throw up. I always tell my students, I'm like, you would never probably know it. But after I was like, what did I say? And how am I even standing up here? There is process, process. Yeah. That's actually what I wanted to talk to you about next, was right now what you're working on. Like when you work, because every medium works different when they do group events, audience events. I would love to hear about what your style of mediumship is, and how you deliver messages and what types of things have come through for you.
Oh my God. Yes. Great question. I think the biggest thing that I did for myself, remember I was telling you that I'd never minimize what your spirit and other living spiritual energies can do together.
Right.
And so breaking down the barriers of what I was previously taught. So when I go to my events, I never minimize it. I'm always pushing to get more details. That would include the way I start my events and the way they continue on the entire time is I'll point to people specifically. And so I'll point to someone specifically, and then I'll share like 6 or 7 pieces of information, names, dates, past experiences, how they passed away. And then I tell everybody in the audience, now let's all see whether or not I'm full of crap or not. And so I let everybody go and see on whether or not the person I pointed to, all those 5 or 6 or 7 pieces of information make total sense. And so that's the point that I've elevated to. And then what I share with people is this. You didn't see me open this up to the entire room. You saw me point to one person. And the reason why I pointed to one person is because your loved one in spirit, say it's your mother, knows where you're sitting and has directed me to exactly where you're sitting. She's showing she's alive. She can see you. She's intelligent. And she's pointing to your exact spot. And then she's validating the fact with all this other information. So that's how I start every single one of my events. I do over like 100 events a year. And wow. Yeah, I do over 100 events a year. And, I'm very grateful that probably like about 95% are sold out, over 90% are sold out. And I think it has to do with that. I think it's just a credibility through word of mouth where people are just watching me point to specific people. But I think also my ability to interpret it all, to explain to people what you're seeing, because I think they miss a lot.
Totally. Yes. It's like you can say the evidence, but then sometimes people have psychic amnesia. I always call it when they're in the moment, they're put on the spot. And you do have to, as a medium, sometimes interpret things in a way, because that kind of connects to, I know there's a lot of mediums listening to this too, so they'll understand this. It's that clear sentience, that feeling that you're feeling, and then you might be seeing or hearing and putting it together and knowing how that connects. So I love that, how you explained how you do your events, because everyone does them differently.
Differently, sure.
So I want to ask you, first, where are you? I know you have an event tonight, which it's probably already sold out at this point, because it's tonight, but where are you located and how can we get more information about your book and your website and different events that you have?
Thank you. Thank you for giving me this moment for that. So a couple things. One, I'm currently in a transition. I live in New Jersey currently, but we actually purchased a home in a different state.
Awesome.
And so I'm in a slow transition of moving into that home. So this is going to be probably around August of this year is going to be the last time I'm going to be in New Jersey.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so if people are interested in attending my events, I have a website and also a Facebook page, and it goes by Expanding the Presence, meaning like expanding the presence of love with inside of all people.
That.
So that's my website, and then that's my Facebook page, and then my book is on Amazon.
Perfect. Thank you so much for giving us that information. And I always ask a last moment question to all my guests. I put them on the spot, so see what comes up naturally for you. But if today was your last day, what would you love to be remembered for?
Probably this, that I think it's important, this is for everyone, is to be proud of one's life. I noticed that I always look at things that equally apply and are universally truthful to all people. So being proud of oneself is that. But it's something that we do that triggers that. It's not something we just choose. So anytime I found that I made wise choices that overcome some kind of challenge or adversity, and still produce this loving outcome, I was proud of myself. It was some kind of effort I was making to do the right thing, the good thing, the loving thing. Even if everybody disagreed with it, as long as it turned out in a beautiful way, I was proud of myself. And so I think that I live my life in such a way, and I would want to be remembered that I had the courage to make the loving, the truthful choice, no matter what kind of adversity.
Wow, that's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that with us, Rich, and thank you for being here on the show. I loved having you.
I enjoyed meeting you, and thank you for this opportunity.
We hope you enjoyed this episode as much as we did. If you liked it, leave a 5-star review on iTunes, and remember, subscribe to our YouTube channel too.
If you can think of anyone else that would love this episode, share it with them right now on social media or email. And remember, getting results is a process of learning, applying, and reflecting. Stay consistent and continue to grow every day.